First Samuel 8 through 9. Now it came about, when Samuel was old, that he appointed his sons as judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judging in Beersheba. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain, and they took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, and they said to him, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the matter was displeasing in the sight of Samuel, when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people regarding all that they say to you, because they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt even to this day, in that they have abandoned me and served other gods. So they are doing to you as well. Now then, listen to their voice. However, you shall warn them strongly, and tell them of the practice of the king who will reign over them." So Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who had asked him for a king. And he said, "This will be the practice of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and put them in his chariots for himself, and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands, and commanders of fifties, and some to do his plowing, and to gather in his harvest, and to make his weapons of war, and equipment for his chariots. He will also take your daughters and use them as perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your seed and your vineyards, and give it to his high officials and his servants. He will also take your male servants and your female servants, and your best young men and your donkeys, and use them for his work. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his servants. Then you will cry out on that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you on that day." Yet the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but there shall be a king over us, so that we also may be like all the nations, and our king may judge us, and go out before us, and fight our battles." Now, after Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the Lord's hearing. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to their voice, and appoint a king for them." So Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Go, every man to his city." Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Bechorath, son of Aphiah, son of a Benjaminite, a valiant mighty man. He had a son whose name was Saul, a young and handsome man. And there was not a more handsome man than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, had wandered off. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Now take with you one of the servants and arise, go search for the donkeys." So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, but they were not there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjaminites, but they did not find them. When they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let's return, or else my father will stop being concerned about the donkeys, and will become anxious about us." But he said to him, "Behold now, there is a man of God in this city, and the man is held in honor. Everything that he says definitely comes true. Now let's go there. Perhaps he can tell us about our journey on which we have set out." Then Saul said to his servant, "But look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is gone from our sacks, and there is no gift to bring the man of God. What do we have? The servant answered Saul again, and said, Look, I have in my hand a fourth of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God, and he will tell us our way. Previously, in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he used to say, Come, and let's go to the seer. For he who was called a prophet now was previously called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, Good idea. Come, let's go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. As they went up the slope to the city, they found young women going out to draw water, and they said to them, Is the seer here? They answered them and said, He is. See, he is ahead of you. Hurry now, for he has come into the city today, because the people have a sacrifice on the high place today. As soon as you enter the city, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Now then, go up, for you will find him about this time. So they went up to the city. As they came into the city, behold, Samuel was coming out toward them to go up to the high place. Now, a day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, About this time tomorrow I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him as ruler over my people Israel, and he will save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have considered my people, because their outcry has come to me. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, Behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall rule over my people. Then Saul approached Samuel at the gateway and said, Please tell me where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up ahead of me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And in the morning I will let you go, and I will tell you everything that is on your mind. And as for your donkeys that wandered off 3 days ago, do not be concerned about them, for they have been found. And for whom is everything that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's household? Saul replied, Am I not a Benjaminite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then have you spoken to me this way? Then Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall, and gave them a place at the head of those who were invited, who were about 30 men. Then Samuel said to the cook, Serve the portion that I gave you, about which I said to you, Set it aside. Then the cook took up the leg with what was on it and placed it before Saul, and Samuel said, Here is what has been reserved. Place it before you and eat, because it has been kept for you until the appointed time, since I said I have invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they came down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the roof, and they got up early, and at daybreak Samuel called to Saul on the roof, saying, Get up, so that I may send you on your way. So Saul got up, and both he and Samuel went out into the street. As they were going down to the edge of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Speak to your servant, and have him go on ahead of us and pass by, but you stand here now, so that I may proclaim the word of God to you. Mark 11. And as they approached Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and said to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, Why are you doing this? Say, The Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it back here. They went away and found a colt tied at the door, outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they told them just as Jesus had said, and they gave them permission. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went in front were those who were following and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest!" And Jesus entered Jerusalem, and came into the temple area, and after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany, with the 12, since it was already late. On the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing from a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went down to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple area and began to drive out those who were selling and buying on the temple grounds. And he overturned the tables of the money changers, and the seats of those who were selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple grounds. And he began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations?' But you have made it a den of robbers." And the chief priests and the scribes heard this, and they began seeking how to put him to death, for they were afraid of him, because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And whenever evening came, they would leave that city. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you for your offenses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your offenses." And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple area, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him, and began saying to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things?" But Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question, and you answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they began considering the implications among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But should we say from men, they were afraid of the people, for they all considered John to have been a real prophet." Answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither am I telling you by what authority I do these things." Hebrews 5. For every high priest taken among men is appointed on behalf of people in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is clothed in weakness, and because of it he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins for himself, as well as for the people. And no one takes the honor for himself, but receives it when he is called by God, just as Aaron also was. So too, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have fathered you." just as he also says in another passage, "You are priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his humanity, he offered up both prayers and pleas with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his devout behavior. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him, being designated by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is difficult to explain, since you have become poor listeners. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unacquainted with the word of righteousness, for he is an infant, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to distinguish between good and evil. Proverbs 14:19-27. The evil will bow down before God, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even by his neighbor, but those who love the rich are many. One who despises his neighbor sins, but one who is gracious to the poor is blessed. Will they who devise evil not go astray? But kindness and truth will be to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is simply foolishness. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who declares lies is deceitful. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, by which one may avoid the snares of death. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy is everlasting. The redeemed of the Lord shall say so. Those who he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness, in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their souls felt weak within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distresses. He also had them walk on a straight way, to go to an inhabited city. They shall give thanks to the Lord for his mercy, and for his wonders to the sons of mankind. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and he has filled the hungry soul with what is good. There were those who lived in the darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God, and rejected the plan of the Most High. Therefore he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bands apart. They shall give thanks to the Lord for his mercy, and for his wonders to the sons of mankind. For he has shattered gates of bronze, and cut off bars of iron. Fools, because of their rebellious way, and because of their guilty deeds, were afflicted. Their souls loathed all kinds of food, and they came close to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and saved them from their destruction. They shall give thanks to the Lord for his mercy, and for his wonders to the sons of mankind. They shall also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, and tell of his works with joyful singing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised the stormy wind, which lifted the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens, they went down to the depths, their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken person, and were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired harbor. They shall give thanks to the Lord for his mercy, and for his wonders to the sons of mankind. They shall also exalt him in the congregation of the people, and praise him at the seat of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and springs of water into a thirsty ground, and a fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into a pool of water, and a dry land into springs of water, and he has the hungry live there, so that they may establish an inhabited city, and sow fields and plant vineyards, and gather a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly. And he does not let their cattle decrease. When they become few and lowly, because of oppression, misery, and sorrow, he pours contempt upon noble men, and makes them wander in a pathless wasteland. But he sets the needy securely on high, away from affliction, and makes his family like a flock. The upright see it and are glad, but all injustice shuts its mouth. Who is wise? He is to pay attention to these things, and consider the mercy of the Lord.